hi again, and I am back. Happy New Year to all of you. I hope you all had a great start of your new year. Me, personally, it started out very nicely. I had a great Christmas and a nice New Year's, most notably because I was on vacation. And so now I'm gearing up for another year, 2007. It's always hard to believe that another year has gone and a new one has begun. But it is what it is, which happens to be the cliche of the year. It is what it is. It's good to be back, and it's been a couple of weeks since my last podcast, and you know, it felt kind of nice not having to do one. Didn't have the pressure of trying to meet a self-imposed deadline, but also, I feel like I've had a lot of extra time, too. So here I was just fiddling around, tooling around in the house, trying to find stuff to do. It was nice, though. You know, you just need a little bit of time to just sit down and spend time with the family on the holidays, relax a little bit, enjoy life. This week, I really don't have any news. Not that there wasn't any to be told, but instead, I'm going to share with you my New Year's resolutions, specifically with Fresh Ubuntu. So anyway, let's go ahead and get started, as I have a lot of email that I need to cover, and some very important email too. So anyway, let's get started with the show, and we'll start with the first New Year's resolution. First of all, I'm going to start making this podcast better. And I know there are probably many of you out there saying, how could it get any better than this? Well, trust me, it will get better. And I've started right away. I got a couple of nice microphones and I got a mixer. So that'll help in that respect, making it sound a little bit better. But secondly, I'm going to start, hopefully, I will start loosening up a little bit. I had a couple of guys at work, you know, give me some quote-unquote constructive criticism. And after crying a little bit, I got to thinking about what they said. And so, you know, I'm going to start getting more comfortable in front of the mic and just in general be a little more loose. Hopefully. Hopefully you can tell the difference. if not, well, I'm going to really have to work on it then. So anyway, make the podcast sound better, both in terms of sound and content. Secondly, I would like to start doing screencasts, and there is a way to do it. I will research that. I'm going to start out slowly, probably not do a whole show of screencasts, but maybe do little tiny segments of the show complimentary to the current audio podcast that I'm doing. You may even see me on the screencast, hopefully, if I can get up to that point. But anyway, I would like to start doing screencasts. It'll probably be on the same RSS feed. It's the most logical thing to do, I think. But that is my number two resolution. Number three, and I'm really very excited about this part, is get web hosting and build a site. And essentially, I have started doing that. I went ahead and bought freshubuntu.org and am currently hosting it on a server right now. I'm with 1&1, which, by the way, has the greatest plan, a really cool plan right now. Really kind of a fairly decent cost for the first 6 months introductory plan kind of thing. But anyway, very good web hosting plan, web hosting service. And currently on the site, I have it running. I have Joomla running on the site, and I'm kind of back and forth with Joomla or WordPress or Drupal, one of the three. Not entirely sure which one I'm going to pick. Of course, there's a lot of learning curve to learn, and then, you know, formatting of the site and everything. But if you care to put your two cents in, those are basically the three that I am thinking about going with: WordPress, Joomla, or Drupal. I'd like your input. I'm not necessarily going to go with, you know, what everyone would like me to use. Right now, I'm kind of leaning towards Joomla because, you know, it looks like a nice thing to learn. It just looks nice to learn, nice administrative features. But also, I kind of like WordPress. I had WordPress up on it at first and was kind of I was kind of pleased with the template that I had. But anyway, that being that, go ahead and drop me an email and see and put your two cents in, or you know, maybe you can help me make up my mind. Which brings us to resolution number 4, and that is to learn CSS and HTML. On top of learning the content management system, I would like also to learn CSS and HTML. That way it's a little easier to, you know, adjust templates and formatting and that kind of thing. Number 5, I would like, and I'm going to, spend more time with the family. And what that might entail is I may not put out a podcast every week. I consider it a quite an honor to do a podcast, especially to new Linux users. But again, I don't want to neglect my family side as well. So I might go on hiatus every now and again, not permanently. And for the most part, I probably will do basically every week, whether it be a long one or a short one, just to touch base. Again, that will also entail doing more screencasts, and maybe you'll get a screencast 1 week, or maybe you'll get a podcast, an audio podcast 1 week, or you might get both in 1 week. So in whatever way that works, I'm going to try and put this podcast out regularly. However, there might be a week where I don't do a podcast, and you'll know why, because I'm spending time with the family. So anyway, those are my New Year's resolutions specifically for this podcast, and I hope I live up to them. I'm living up to a few of them right now. So with that, let's get on to the rest of the show. I'm going to talk about some very important four-letter words. Be right back. Okay, I'm back, and so we are going to talk about root and sudo and the differences between them, and really, the differences are very minimal. Okay, let's talk about root first. Now, in Linux, there's a super user named root, and that's the Windows analog of the administrator. Okay, it can do anything and everything, and can be, and oftentimes is, very dangerous, so doing daily work is not a good thing to do as the root user, as you could type a command in incorrectly and crash the system. Ideally, you want to run as a user with only limited permissions. Okay, and oftentimes, as a user with limited permissions, you are given access to root privileges. Oftentimes, you don't need root privileges, but there are times when you have to have root privileges, which is where sudo comes in. The term sudo means super user do. Now, in Ubuntu, the root account is locked, okay, by default. This means you can't log in as a root or as the super user. You can't log in as the root or use su. Instead, what happens in Ubuntu is that the installer will set up a sudo, a super user do, to allow the user that is created during the installation to run all the administrative commands. This means in the terminal, you can use the command sudo for commands that require root privileges. Okay, for instance, when you're in the terminal or when you're running a package that requires administrative privileges, it will prompt you when you run sudo for your password. And when it asks you for your password, it'll ask you for your user password. It means to me that there is a password as the root user and there's a password for the sudo command. Two different passwords, two different accounts. Sudo is a command for the limited permission user, and root is a root account, administrative account, with no holds barred kind of power. Here's some notes about root and sudo, specifically some notes about sudo. Once you enter your password after issuing a sudo command, that password is stored for about 15 minutes. And after that time, you'll have to re-enter it again. Your password won't be shown on the screen as you type it. However, for those of you who are not new to Ubuntu, you probably have run across this. Your password won't be shown on the screen on the terminal as you enter it in, not even as a row of stars, but for sure it is going in there. Now at the help.ubuntu.com, here's some little tips on using sudo. If you want to run a graphical configuration utility with sudo, you'll want to first launch the application via the menu, then let it ask you for the password. If you want to run a program using sudo that normally runs as the user, such as Gedit, G-E-D-I-T, you'll want to press Alt-F2. If you remember that little tip I gave you a few episodes, maybe a few dozen episodes back, and then enter G-K-S-U-D-O, or G-K-sudo, and then the command, or if you're using Kubuntu, you'll issue K-D-E-S-U, okay, and then the command. Okay, and the reason why they want you to do that is that you should never use sudo to start graphical programs. You should always use G-K-S-U-D-O or K-D-E-S-U to run those programs. Otherwise, login attempts or new login attempts might fail, and a login error message reports unable to read ICE authority file. Log in using the failsafe terminal and execute the command below, rm /home/user/.parent ICE, x/parent authority. And I'll put the command in the show notes. Now, there is a way to enable a root shell, essentially a root account. But this being a show for essentially newbies, and I consider myself somewhat new at this, I am not going to go there. Specifically because I often lurk on the Ubuntu forums, and I see that there are a lot of people who actually mess up their computers as the root administrator. So I don't want to be the one to blame if that should ever happen. I know fresh Ubuntu podcast listeners would never do such a thing as like that. You know, just in case you have some other person listening to this podcast. Using sudo allows you to do administrative tasks without having to remember another password. Again, root password and user password. Okay, running the root account, you have to use a root password. Could be very different from your user password, okay? So you don't have to remember another password to use sudo. Using sudo adds a log entry of the commands run in /var/log/auth.log. And so if you mess up, you can always go back and see what commands were run. You know, hopefully you never mess up, but if you do, it allows you to go back and see what commands were run and possibly reverse those things that were done to your computer. Now, I also want you to be aware that there's a little bit of conflict between the root administrator camp, the people who like using or being the root account, and people who like to use sudo. And for all intents and purposes, sort of the same thing. They all want security. You know, they all want a secure computing environment. Other people like opening up a root account because it's much more convenient. You know, it doesn't ask for all these passwords all the time. The people who are in the sudo camp, well, you don't have to always be double checking to see if you wrote the command correctly or that kind of thing. So just want you to be aware that there's a little bit of conflict between the two camps. I'm perfectly happy with using sudo. It's not a huge deal. I do have a little tiny tip that the website help.ubuntu.com/community/root sudo gives. And it's kind of a cool little trick. And that is to create a launcher with the following command, gksudo, all one word, space, open quotes, gnome-open %, U, that's the letter U, and close quotes. You can put it on your desktop or on a panel, and what you can do with it is, when you drag and drop any file on this launcher, it'll be opened as root with its associated application. It's kind of helpful when you're doing, you know, editing configuration files, which are owned by the root user, because if you open something with Gedit oftentimes it'll only be read-only, and I've tried that before. That's a nice little tip. Let's review one last time. The Root is a separate account, which is an account that can do anything and everything. However, the only thing that's kind of its weakness, I suppose, is the person controlling the Root account, meaning you have to be very careful on what you do in that account. In Ubuntu, the Root account is disabled by default. I don't necessarily see it as a bad thing or a good thing. However, maybe we should be given a choice. I don't know. Either way, it's not necessarily good or bad. Secondly, every user with given the right privileges can use sudo, which gives you limited administrative privileges. There are other commands similar to sudo. For instance, in Ubuntu, there's gksudo, and that is all one word. And in Kubuntu, there is kdesu, and those are very similar to sudo. However, you know, you don't want to open graphical programs with sudo. Okay, you want to do it with gksudo or kdesu. And, of course, I gave you that little tip for the launcher on your desktop or on one of the panels in order to open configuration files and not them being opened as read-only. There is, again, a way to enable the Root account. Again, I'm not going to go there. I don't want to see you on the forums. I'm pretty much a lurker on the forums. I kind of see what's going on, what's being talked about, and it kind of helps me go with my podcast. But anyway, I don't want to see you on the forum saying, oh, this guy on Fresh Ubuntu said that I could open the Root account and this will give me all these awesome privileges, and then all of a sudden you locked yourself out of your computer, okay? Don't want that to happen. And I know it probably never would, because Fresh Ubuntu listeners are very smart folks. But anyway, there's a slight chance. So that, in a nutshell, is Root and sudo, and I am by no means an expert on this subject, but I just wanted to shed a little bit of light on what Root and sudo is. And I kind of see it as Superman and Clark Kent, where the Root account is Superman, you know, can do anything. One weakness is kryptonite, i.e. the user. And I see Clark Kent as being sort of the user. He's got to maintain this level of anonymity. He can't give away that he is the Superman, that he is Superman. But every now and again, you see him put into situations where he needs to, I don't know, you know, use his X-ray vision or super cold breath, that kind of thing. So that's sort of my analogy. That's the way I keep it straight in my mind. I suggest that you, if you want to learn more about Root and sudo, you can go to the help.ubuntu.com/community/root/sudo. That's all one word, if you wish to. That is typically what, or I never really have to use the Root account, so I'm perfectly happy with using sudo and gksudo and its Kubuntu analog. So anyway, that does it for our main segment. Let's go on to the command line command of the week. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, and welcome back to the command line command of the week. This week's command line command is counting words. Okay, the command WC. What this does is it's a command that counts words in a text file, or any file for that matter. Mostly text files, as that's where you want to count words. But basically it has some options. The word count option is the -W option. And it's essentially a command that counts how many words are in a file. Okay, and I tried this out, and for many of you who are coming from the Windows camp, who are used to naming files with a space in it, you'll want to, if you have a space anywhere in your file name, just before the space, at the end of the preceding word, you want to put a backslash. What that means in Linux is, it means to ignore the next character directly after the backslash. The command is WC, space dash W, and the text file or file that you want to count the words in, okay? There are several other types of options. The dash C options prints out the byte counts. Dash M prints the character counts, how many characters are in that file. Dash L prints the new lines in the count. And dash capital L prints the length of the longest line. So this week's command line command of the week is WC, and it's essentially, the mnemonic is, for me, counting words. I hope you find that helpful and useful, and we'll talk to you again next week with another command line command of the week. Okay, let's get on with some emails and comments. My favorite part of the show. First one is from Steve. Hi, Harlem. Just came upon your podcast yesterday, and I'm spending some time catching up. Good work. I started with Ubuntu shortly before you on July 6th. I run Edgy on my laptop and Dapper on a home file server. I don't know whether you know about this, but one of my favorite shortcuts is the terminal program Yakuake, spelled Y-A-K-U-A-K-E. It's sort of an acronym for yet another Quake terminal. It's a KDE app, so they spelled Quake with a K. And what it is, it's a drop-down terminal in the game Quake, and basically it allows you to hit F12 and get an instant terminal session without having to go through the menus. To close the terminal, you just hit F12 again, and you can customize the terminal color scheme as well as the height and the width. You can install it using Synaptic or apt-get, and it depends on the console KDE terminal app. So that will be installed as well if you need it. It does run on Ubuntu, so now you have the terminal just one keystroke away. His other tip he also leaves about getting the default Ubuntu boot splash back up after removing the Kubuntu desktop. If you installed the Kubuntu desktop and you didn't like it and you're going back to Ubuntu, well, you're often stuck with the Kubuntu splash screen. He gives a way to remove that, and I will post that on the show notes. Thank you very much, Steve. And Steve hails from Tingsboro, Massachusetts. I also got an email from a person named Cody Pumper. He emailed me, and he wants to be on my podcast. He just kind of cold called me, so to speak. And I told him that I was game, and I would like to have him on. I want him and a couple other guys to be on sort of a special episode, so I'm getting that all worked out with them. Cody, if I haven't contacted you by now, I will be contacting you in the very near future. I'm very sorry I haven't gotten back to you sooner. Again, I'm, you know, got so many things going on right now, so please forgive me. I will get a hold of you very soon, though. My next email is from Klaus. He says, "Hi, Harlem. Greetings from Germany. I'm so glad I gave your podcast a chance because I was searching for an Ubuntu podcast in German and wasn't sure if I could understand everything, but I've got no problems so far. I've listened to nearly all of the episodes during my Christmas holiday, and I love your podcast. It's interesting for newbies and experienced users as well. My favorites are the command line command of the week and reminds me of the old MS-DOS days and animate me to deal with the console more often. I myself thought of giving Linux a try for nearly a year now, but only several weeks ago I purchased a Linux magazine with a live CD of Ubuntu 6.10. My first try was to install it on a small second hard drive of my old desktop, only 7 gigabytes. Everything went well, but after a few days, I was sure I have to grant my old machine a new 250 gigabyte hard drive and a cheap NVIDIA graphics because I couldn't find Linux drivers for my old one and the VESA driver was too slow to make it real fun. So yesterday, I managed to install Barrel and it runs perfectly with the new graphic card. How about that? That's cool. Due to your podcast and many hours on many forums and sites, I came to the decision that I will now install Ubuntu on my notebook as well. As a dual boot solution with a rudimental Windows XP installation. Unfortunately, there are still some Windows apps I couldn't or don't want to replace with my Linux software yet. for instance, iTunes, my CMS, which I use to create and administer my website, and Microsoft Publisher. I hope I won't have too much problem with my PCM CIA Wi-Fi card. I'm a little bit scared since I listened to your upgrading nightmare. Coming to an end, I would like to suggest a new section for your show. How about the Linux alternative of the week or month? Would be great. If you could present an alternative Linux application or tool to replace a Windows program, keep up the good work. Looking forward to your next show and wish you and your family a happy new year. All the best, Klaus. And that was a great email. Thank you very much, Klaus, for writing me back. And that is a great suggestion. And look forward to that in the next coming episodes. Let me see. Let's do it once. Let's try once a week. Okay, we'll do it once a week. I'll see if I can come up with something. And if not, well, I'll let y'all know that I don't have an application. But that's a great idea. Thank you, Klaus, for the email. Next one is from Ken. He left a comment on my blog. He says that the application that I wish were available for Linux are Intuit's Quicken and Apple's iTunes. And I know that there are Linux alternatives for both of these, but I haven't been able to switch. In the case of Linux, I have years of history in the Quicken format, and Quicken seamlessly integrates with the financial institutions I do business with, and it would be hard to give that up. I might be able to replace my use of iTunes if I can find an application that will manage podcasts and sync them to my multiple iPods in a similar way. Maybe there is already such an application. If so, please share. If I could use Quicken and iTunes on my Ubuntu Linux installation, I would say goodbye to Windows for good. Ken, I tried installing Quicken on my Ubuntu desktop using Wine, and so far that was okay. Haven't tried it with iTunes, but I'll give that a try as well. But, you know, I feel for you. I use Quicken quite a bit as well. That's my main software for finances, and it really is hard to leave that in its own environment, you know? So I do feel for you. However, I'm sure the people at Wine are working on something like that, so it may not be too far off in the distant future, okay? Thanks again for leaving that comment, Ken. Let's go to the next one. It is from MacMan213. He left a comment on my blog about the episode Making a Plan Before Installing Ubuntu. And he says, what are the specifications for the computers? And essentially, you can almost have any computer because it can be Linux can be installed on most any computers. However, Ubuntu, I hear, is not going to be making upgrades to their operating system for the PowerPC architecture. So any old Macs, you'll have to go with an older version of Ubuntu or another distro that still supports the PowerPC architecture. But essentially, you can put it on anything. I am or would like to put Linux on my PDA, and I have a Dell Axim X30. It's about 3 or 4 years old right now, and so I'd like to get Linux on that. I'm looking for instructions, but a lot of the instructions are kind of ambiguous, so that being that, you can essentially put Linux on anything. Shoot, you can put it on your toaster if you wanted to. So let's go on to the next email. It is from John Sims. Completely behind you on your Christmas wish list, he says. Adobe should support Linux with a Flash Player and Photoshop. I'm 16 years old, and I've been using Linux 2 or 3 weeks now, and I think it's great. I would like to add something to your wish list. It will definitely be on mine. I wish Linux could support or convert .exe files. It would make life with Ubuntu a lot easier. Great podcast. Keep up the good work. John Sims is from Coventry, England. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast, John. Next one is from Harry Meyer, and this is in response to my Christmas wish list thing. At one time, Mac users thought they needed WordPerfect on the Mac. And also, look at it this way. Adobe doesn't know what they're missing by not getting into Linux. Very true. Very true. And what Harry would like to see is something like iPhoto ported over to Linux. And that is a That's good. That's great. Yeah, something very usable.
Yeah, iPhoto and iLife would be really cool ported over there. I don't know if there's actually, Mac operating system is sort of Unix based, so I don't see why they couldn't port it over. But anyway, and maybe somebody can tell me why. Harry Meyer says iPhoto would be really cool. And my last one is from Ezerhoden. I think his real name is Bob. He left a comment. He noticed that on one of the screenshots that I put up on my blog post for my Christmas wish list, there was a screenshot with console. And console is a terminal window for KDE. And what I have done to my notebook computer was I installed the KDE desktop and the Zubuntu desktop on my notebook so that I could use all of them. And I've been switching off every now and again with the different desktop environments. So it's been quite an experience. I've been using XCFE or XFCE. I don't know. I get so confused with that. Anyway, I've been using the Zubuntu desktop lately. And I used the KDE desktop for a little while before Christmas. Used a lot of resources. Again, my notebook is rather old. So that being that, that's the word of the year. That's a cliche of the year for me. It is what it is. And so I've got all three of the desktops on there. I'd like to get another one on there. I was thinking about Enlightenment. I don't know. There are other desktops out there. If there's any listeners out there using a different desktop other than the Zubuntu, Kubuntu, or Ubuntu, let me know. And maybe I'll give that a try as well. So anyway, that is my show for this week. Thank you very much. And I hope you have a great and happy new year. And we'll see you again very soon. Goodbye. Well, that's going to do it for another week of Fresh Ubuntu. Thank you very much for joining me this week. My name is Parlam once again. And also, I would like you to, don't forget, to visit the show notes. They are located at freshubuntu.com. And you might want to check out my site that I'm building right now. It is at freshubuntu.org. And that is eventually where I'm going to move everything. And have everything pointed to that site as well. Hopefully, very soon. It's in beta phase. The music was provided by the Podshow PodSafe Music Network, and thank you to the PodSafe Music Network for providing that music. I hope you have a great new year. Thank you again for joining me, and I will speak with you again in about another week. Okay, talk to you then. Bye bye.